everybody. We're back once again. My name is David Whitehead. I'm your host tonight. You're listening to Truth Warrior on American Freedom Radio. And I'm here with my guests, Randy Moggins and Vinny Eastwood. And we're breaking down the degradation of our society, the role of the masculine and feminine, which has been completely twisted and lost. And as we were on the break, I was just doing some surfing on the mainstream Canadian news stations, and I just went to a couple different websites there, one of them being CTV, which is one of the biggest news stations around. And when you go to these mainstream sites, you get to the main page, and I mean, we were just looking there, and if you go there right now to just ctv.ca, the first image that pops up, of course, is just America's Next Top Model and all the latest television shows. And it seems to be more and more just about entertainment. But this one image of the America's Next Top Model, it just kind of illustrated perfectly for me what we're talking about here tonight. You got all the girls on one side. They're all in black. They all look like hookers. And then you look, you know, on the right side, you got all the men. They're all in black. And they also look like hookers. And it's just...
Well, they look
like Chippendales.
Yeah. Well, what's the difference? Chippendales for hire.
So check out, you know,
this isn't anything manly.
And look at how unmanly they are. There isn't a chest hair between them.
No, it's all gone. Oh wait, that one guy has some, but he's wearing black leather pants.
He does not. That's just the chest hair
between four guys there, I'm telling you.
Yeah. There is not one. Okay, you could prowl over the mother fracker with tweezers and a magnifying glass for 6 hours. You wouldn't find a single chest hair, bro.
Here's the thing: the dominant image there is the woman in the center with the black. I guess you would call it kind of almost a military style hat, but she's very, very dominant looking. She looks like a dominatrix. And she is the central figure. So the feminine figure here is the aggressor. The guys are standing off to the side. And, of course, you've got women who are apparently her posse in the background as well.
Well, something that's a near rhyme with posse.
I wasn't going to go there, but you can.
I alluded to it, okay? It's just like in television sex scenes, okay? It's all implied, folks. It's all implied.
Whole webpage out. You got, one guy does have chest hair, by the way. Yeah, he does. Okay, good. Anyway, why does Canada care about America's Next Top Models, except that America is now the great exporter of image? And this is the image we're exporting.
Well, I mean, basically, Canada is essentially just the 50s.
It's American.
It's just another American colony now. Well, but technically, that's just a British colony. But
yeah,
I mean, it's all the same advertising companies that own all the media. There's no difference, folks. When you're looking at these different news outlets, I mean, you're just looking at the same thing, no matter what channel you go to. You got 500 channels. How many different news stations that are on there? You got
owned by five companies.
Yeah, exactly, and all of this is very carefully orchestrated. These images aren't just shot in 30 seconds where, oh, strike a pose, boom, it's done. No, this is a whole, they do a whole day photo shoot. They've got everybody in the exact position, the exact pose, the colors, everything is there to appeal to your senses so that you tune in and you start caring about who's the next top model. Now, I'm not trying to bash anybody's career choices, but in the day and age in which we live, especially, you know, looking at the way things are in America, Canada, Australia, pretty much everywhere. But if you look at America right now, it is just absolutely in shambles. People living in tent cities, the unemployment rate through the roof. It's not even the numbers that you're getting from the mainstream media aren't accurate at all. They're undercutting it big time. You've had all of your money in all the banks that are just basically run by offshore central banks. And the country, it really isn't a country anymore. It's just another corporate entity that is joining this, you know, sort of big globalist empire. And the media that is coming out of this and the people that own the media are the same people that are, you know, lobbying in the government, that are running the corporations, that are, you know, I see it coming into Canada more and more all the time. And I just see that anything that was uniquely Canadian, which is really hard to define these days, it's just all turning into the same. You see the same things coming in, the same businesses, the same corporations, the same banks that are basically, you know, setting everything up as it is in America. So we're losing our identity here. And you've got one of our local Canadian news stations. And instead of talking about the problems that are going on in Syria, That is a big concern. The you know, any of these real issues that we should probably be paying attention to, that we're all contributing to by paying our taxes and having our tax dollars go to paying the debt to these bankers and to, you know, fund the military campaigns across the world. I mean, we're just sitting back and watching America's Next Top Model, and that is really the only thing that is consuming our mind at this point.
This is pathetic. Look at this. This guy, and I know for people who are on radio, this is we're doing visual media over airwaves. But one of the models on here, his name's Chris, and he was the first male model to be eliminated. He says it was his he fulfilled his dream by being on America's Next Top Model. So what's next? What do? Stick the gun in your mouth at that point? I mean, come on. This is vacuous. This is inane. It is empty. And this is what they're marketing.
This is also something that teaches people that you're nobody until you're on television, that X Factor is the only way to become rich and famous, that that is the biggest achievement you'll ever go through in your life. But I can tell you, you know, having been seen on television and been heard on radio for a number of years, this ain't nothing. It means absolutely nothing. What matters is what you do in your real life. How many people have you helped today? How much honor, discipline, self-respect, responsibility, and integrity have you shown today, today alone? Because each day that you live is a judgment upon you, because every day there are character calls to make. And what these television shows make you forget is all of that, that there is only one thing: to look pretty in front of a lens. You're right when you say it's empty. You're right when you say it's shallow, because they're trying to rob everybody's perception and an example of anything that could be construed of as a real man or a real woman. Because a man becomes a father, a woman becomes a mother. That's a natural progression. Then you become a grandmother and so on and so forth. Depending if you're born in the South, maybe you'll even have great, 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 great grandchildren while you're still alive, because everybody starts breeding when they're about like 12. And now, the other element here is not just about that, but also sexuality. Sexuality is a really raw, low-down, raunchy kind of thing in the media. But sexuality in your real life, hey, that's very, very different, isn't it? You know, you're not going hardcore of all these girls with the tattoos and the shaving and so on and so forth. This is just artificial manicuring, okay? Just to kind of hide who you really are, and more or less be ashamed of your own body. Make it appear something dirty or disgusting when it's actually something that's quite beautiful and doesn't require an awful lot of analysis, really, at the end of the day, to tell you the truth. Maybe some reflection. But other than that, they're turning it into something that it's not. It should be about, do you actually really love this person? Or is this like the sixth or seventh person you've done this week? You know? Yeah.
Well, what goes on behind the scenes is even more gruesome. I lived in New York City many years ago, and I've also have a lot of friends who work in Hollywood. The disease that goes on with these people is unbelievable. Anorexia, bulimia, constant purging, constant binging, use of all kinds of drugs to regulate their weight, concerns over complexion, body type. They basically are artificial human beings, getting their teeth laminated, getting silicone injections into their boobs. And the men are no better. They've created a culture of, frankly, homo mannequins, to call them, you know, by what they really are. These are just walking, breathing mannequins.
Well, I think every guy in this picture has probably had Botox done. I mean, this is something that it goes on in the modeling world. And I think that you hit the nail on the head, both of you actually. Really good points on this, because there's another element here, and that is not just about what these particular people are going through in their minds and what's going on behind the scenes. What's going on in the minds of the people that are watching this show, and especially young people who are impressionable and who are, you know, they're looking up to these kinds of people and they can't wait to tune in. And never mind the adults that are also consuming their mind with this type of stuff. And yet, and then you have women, you know, they're mothers of, you know, three kids, and they're worried to death about, oh, I got a wrinkle this morning. My hair, I saw gray hair. And in the ancient culture, they would look at that as a sign of wisdom and beauty. Mm-hmm. And you're a mother. And that's an elevated status in the community. Whereas today it's looked down upon. You have to go get some kind of plastic surgery. You need to be paranoid 24/7 about how perfectly red and juicy your lips look. And if it's not natural, we've got all kinds of stuff we can inject in there, and we can tweak this and shave that and clip this and perform surgery on your body to try to make it look like this image that the media is projecting, that's impossible to attain.
You ask them, like, how did you get all these artificial things? And they go, oh, well, we salvaged old chemical weapon dumps for all the overuse that they did for World War II. And it was illegal to dump it into particular areas because it's kind of against the law. It's called environmental degradation and pollution and killing the entire ecosystem. So what we did is we just kind of, like, you know, watered it down. You know, we cut it, to use a drug term, with a whole bunch of other products that also aren't really good for you, and produces some kind of, you know, beautifying effect. So that you'll get sicker and die faster while you're getting prettier. And as a result, you'll have a good, pretty carcass for necrophiliacs to take advantage of.
Well, exactly. And not even to mention the animal testing and all this stuff that goes on with these products. My wife got this book the other day that's called There's Lead in Your Lipstick. And it's just a good read on just one element of what's in some of these makeup products that women are putting all over their faces to try to impress the boss, impress, you know, the men at work, and impress their husbands or boyfriends or whatever is going on. And these products are toxic. And you wonder why we've got this explosion in skin cancers and breast cancer and, you know, just, but, and also the psychological damage that's being done. Like you were bringing up the whole thing about, you know, the eating disorders, et cetera. I've seen young girls come into my martial arts studio and they're bullied endlessly at school by these girls because this girl, she's beautiful. I look at her, I'm like, you're a beautiful young girl. You've got a lot of potential. You're smart. You're funny. You're talented. Yet at school, it just doesn't cut it anymore because she's not logging into Facebook on her cell phone during class all day. And she's not dressing like a tramp at school and trying to attract that male attention by the age of 12 or 13. And therefore, she's now cut out of her peer group and then degraded to the point where now she's got an eating disorder because she doesn't feel like she's good enough. And then you turn on the television and it's just reinforced again and again and again. So if people out there don't think that this isn't cultural, social engineering or culture creation on behalf of Madison Avenue and these advertising companies, I mean, you got to go and do some research. You really got to take a smart look at this because this is just over the top and it's just getting worse. And we really need to start helping these kids and really bringing them up with some good moral values.
Yeah, and what also occurs to me is, how could you deny the effect of television on children? You name me a child today that hasn't acted out or pretended to be or dressed up like one of the cartoon characters on TV before.
Yeah. I did it when I was young. I wanted to be all the people I look up to. I watched MacGyver, Michael Knight, all that stuff. I wanted to be all those guys. And now
I wanted to be all the Power Rangers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And today, people dress like Power Rangers, man. It's, look at these guys. They're all like Black Power Ranger. But it's just insane. And, I mean, Randy, you've been around a little bit longer than both Vinny and myself. And, you know, we look to you for some wisdom in terms of having more of foresight as to how this has developed. How's it been? And also, just speaking to people that you know who might be from generations before, how's it been seeing just the speed at how this has really started to ramp up in our society today?
Well, yeah, you're right. It is dizzying, the decay level. I've lived long enough now to see three generations in my life, that being my generation, my children, and my grandchildren, which I have one right now. And I look at the span between those generations and I realize that there is this gigantic gulf that has taken place. It's not the same world that I grew up in. And I grew up in a small town, which was very remote from most of the popular culture. I mean, I grew up in the 70s, but the 60s were actually happening. But I've seen a long enough span now to see how far down we've gone in terms of the human condition. A lot of what we're talking about in terms of these superficial things, the media especially, is taking away the ability of human beings to be introspective, to go inside themselves, because now everything's externalized. So when you find young people, and I had a conversation on Saturday with two young men that stopped by our house here, they're friends of my son, and one was 19, one was 27. And I was just blown away by these two young guys and how, quite frankly, they got it, you know, but they were in a process, each of them, of separating from this culture. They saw how superficial it was. They saw that they had no future. These are young men. And they saw that they had no future in corporate America. They realized that the economic decay made them having what their parents had nearly impossible unless they started to think outside of the box. And that's what they were doing. That's what they were talking about. So it's a long span. And when you look at it from my perspective, it's discouraging. And yet at the same time, I see glimmers of hope in it all.
And glimmers of hope. I mean, when we look at this, and Vinny, let's get your take on this. You've done a lot more radio shows than I have. You've been doing this for a long time, a lot of activism and going down to local protests and you know, bringing out these facts on a bullhorn and stuff like that, which, you know, we definitely need that. And
so, I'm kind of New Zealand's most technologically advanced activist.
Okay. Let's answer that question on the other side. Folks, thank you. Back, everybody. We are live. We've got a couple more segments left here on the second edition of the Man Talk Project, talking about guy stuff, talking about real issues, what's going on in the world, what's going on with media and how it affects the psyche of human beings, which it seems to be pretty much the driving force behind most people's motivation. They get up in the morning and they're already checking what shows are going to be on by the time they get home from their strenuous and stressful jobs. And if you live in my city, Toronto, you know you've got a good 2 hours of traffic both ways before you're even going to reach work or reach home. And it kind of makes me sad when I talk to the average person around here and I just see that they're defeated. That's really what it comes down to, is that they've been defeated completely. And when you get defeated in your mind and you're not any longer attached to your own personal sovereignty, your own identification with what it means to be you and to have your own individual personality, that your own opinion, not just a reflection of somebody else. It's like, I think it's Mark Twain or something that said, you know, most people are other people. It's the truth. But when you can get past all that and get past all that stress and all that blatantly, it's just mind control that's out there that's trying to convince you that you're something you're not. When you can get past that and you find your center and you remember who you are and you get down to the nitty gritty, and then at that point, you're really going to start feeling alive. And when I look at most people, unfortunately, I just see that they've just turned off and they've just tapped out. They've given up. They don't know what to do. They can't make ends meet. Their life is just nothing but stress. So it's just easier to come home, turn the television on, zone out, forget about anything that really matters. You don't want to hear anything negative. You don't want to hear about what's going on in the world, because most people are just so disempowered. They can't even begin to conceptualize what they're going to do about it. And right before the break, we were just talking, I was trying to bring up some stuff about Vinny's work and how he's been out there being an activist for quite some time in New Zealand, and he's acquired some pretty fancy technology, and I guess he's kind of considered the most technologically advanced activist out in his neck of the woods. So, Vinny, maybe you can carry it on from there.
Yeah. Also, I think you're right about your point when you said that everybody seems to be defeated. You know, I don't think the Arabs have been, because you know how they throw their shoes at their enemy? Do you know how they do that? Why yeah. they do that?
Yeah.
To show them defeat.
And George Bush got thrown at him or something.
Yeah. And in fact, there was an enormous amount of protest that was sparked worldwide. We're using the shoe as an example, and it was like on The Life of Brian. Give me your shoe. Oh yeah.
And then Austin Powers is like, "Who throws a shoe?" Honestly,
you know, you would wish that an American president wouldn't have such quick reflexes and see something. But the thing is, he knew where he was, and he saw it coming. He knew there was a possibility to it. He was delivering that speech, wouldn't you? You know, yeah. Mr. President, there are some Arabs in the room. You, there might be some incoming in the form of a loafer. And the whole point about technology, and getting back to the original point here, is that we've got it. And boy, oh boy, can we use it to really good purposes. It's a double-edged sword. Some cheap-ass scumbaggery agent within a massive media complex that's worth multi-million dollars with huge quantities of exhaustive equipment deliver about maybe 2 minutes of real information per day. Me with a giant 27-inch quad-core iMac with built-in microphone and camera, I think it's about a 72-inch LCD television behind me to project a background with, a 1080 HD camera phone mounted on a tripod in front of the computer with the power plugged in, a light stand with four giant energy saver light bulbs that are about six or seven times the size of your ordinary energy saver light bulb. The place lights up like the sun. And the ability to print DVDs, burn CDs, DVDs, and things of that nature. A person has also sent down a bunch of professionally printed canvas banners that we've got on the back of Core Flute, which is, you know, that stuff that you have for real estate signs and what have you. You know, that stuff that's kind of like weather ready. It doesn't matter whether you're standing in the rain or not. And we've got a dozen or so of such banners with different messages about, you know, state surveillance and the Prime Minister John Key and how the state assets are being sold off to the World Bank and so on and so forth. You know, something for every single occasion. I've got a 100-watt megaphone. There are only six of those in the country. The army and the police have three of them, and activists have the other three. And then they made it illegal to import them because they're just too powerful. And we've got one of those. And in tandem, when linked up with some other activists in other parts of the countries, so we're all part of the kind of same network, because the same guy bought them all and divvied them out to activists who we thought were actually doing a good job and would actually wind up using them. I happen to be one of those people. And another megaphone that's been donated as well. Every single thing that I'm listing here has all been donated. I haven't paid for a single thing of my equipment. I've also got a shoulder-mounted camera. Okay, with a little camera arm that can stick out in front of me or wherever, so you can catch my face while I'm doing the protesting, so I don't actually have to hold a camera doing that at all. You see what I'm saying? Bluetooth wireless microphones that set up a connection between a receiver that you just plug right into the mic jack of your little HD camera, right? Gets clear audio, crisp, from up to 50 meters away. It's 150 feet, okay? And you got that when you're walking around. You can just use that as basically your microphone. Hello, I'm Vinny Eastwood, such and such and blah, 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 blah. Who the frick are you? And then, okay. On top of that. On top of that, I actually shoot stuff all over the place for pretty much any single conceivable protest that you can think of. People protesting against surveillance. People protesting against the scumbaggery trade deals that were being under that are destroying the sovereignty of the country. People who were going out protesting the use of poisons, pesticides, GMOs, Monsanto. You frickin' name it. I'm there with the 100-watt megaphone to lead the charge. and I have the loudest voice that you will ever hear in this realm or the next. And I use it.
And more people should use it, man. And so when you go down to a protest, Vinny, I mean, what? How is it? You unrolled all this stuff. You set everything up. And do other activists just run away from you? Or do you end up getting people that sort of join in and support you? Like, what's the main thing that keeps kind of happens there?
It's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. People allegedly thinking that they're thinking for themselves is like that, isn't it? And, you know, so a lot of the protesters come up to me and they say, oh, mate, you're just brilliant. It's so funny and such and blah, blah, blah. You know, thank you very much for doing what you're doing. Here's a lolly. Here's a throat lozenge. Here's a $100 note. Whoa, really? You give me a $100 note, bro? He's like, man, you know, you've given me reason to live. I'm like, whoa, okay. You know? And wow. I'm just like, you got to, and that happened twice in the same day. Two people gave me a $100 note. Right, just because I helped out leading one protest that my presence was unappreciated at. In fact, the person who organised that protest, next time he organised a town hall meeting, you know, against this new surveillance bill that's been passed in New Zealand, he private messages me and he says, who gave you permission to film? You know, when I said that I was going to come and film and put it up on the internet for people to see, because there's a whole bunch of important speakers and things of that nature that are exposing scumbaggery in all its eclectic forms. And you know, I was just like, who gave you permission to film? Or are you freaking kidding me? How many times? Because it's like, he's a Fabian socialist, right? You know what the symbol of Fabian socialism is? It's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what kind of agenda is being sold to New Zealand activists, you know, unwittingly? By a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I can guarantee you that most of the protest marches, and indeed virtually all of the protest marches that get launched here in New Zealand, wind up being led and or organised by people who are, you know, either openly in the Fabian socialist fold or just acting like it. And getting back to the Man Talk project, guess who decided was a great idea to feminize men and finance feminism and split the family unit up so that they could get attached on everybody's kids and start indoctrinating them into the way of the state. The Fabian Socialist Party.
Yeah, exactly. It is interesting that they have that logo, the wolf in sheep's clothing. I mean, that's been something that has been warned about forever. And it's just interesting that they would actually blatantly put that out there, that that's exactly what they are. And when you go in and look at what they, you know, what they're putting out in terms of their mentality, it's exactly that. And, you know, when you look at some of these protests, obviously, Vinny, I'm sure you've seen a lot of this police brutality that takes place at these things, and kind of talking from the perspective of men here, we see more and more of a recruiting process that's been going on, especially in professional sports. I mean, if you go to a hockey game, you go to a UFC fighting championship, whatever, you've got advertisements there. This event is brought to you by the military or brought to you by the local police force. Join and, you know, be all you can be and all this shit. And then you get these guys that are goosed up on steroids. They think they're men. They believe that they're men, but they're going out there and beating up little kids and women and old people and people with prosthetic limbs, etc. And, you know, this is just, again, another way of hyper-masculinizing these men and putting them out there, and they're just acting like thugs for the state. So, I mean, what kind of experience do you have of that?
Pardon? You know, I just kind of thinking about this for a moment. How exactly are we supposed to put up a good example for people in general? If the people who are leading the protest marches aren't willing to do what's necessary, aren't willing to say the whole truth and allude to it all in the grand scheme, because once you know the grand scheme, once you know all of the things that these people are talking about, Oh, boy, does it become clear whenever they open their mouths, doesn't it? You've seen this in the mouths of the politicians. You've heard this out of the mouths of people on television and news and movie lines and things of this nature that all kind of come together to believe this one mentality that men don't really mean much away in the form of masculine chauvinism or gentlemanly conduct anymore. No. It's all about being the strong man who just gets the girls and is really not that bright at the end of the day. Somebody who's an irresponsible father. Somebody who doesn't have a father or doesn't have a proper family upbringing. You name me one Disney film where the main character had both of their parents alive for the entirety of the film. Does not exist. There's a reason for this, and it all ties in. Now, you only understand what the implications of these things are when you see them. So whenever you're looking through an episode of, say, Futurama or something, and you see an all-seeing eye of the Illuminati pyramid very clearly, blatantly on the wall in between two characters having a conversation, you don't think that's just coincidence, do you? That art directors said, just chuck a random symbol in there, and it just turns out to be the rank and file Illuminati message. We just Google image search stuff to put on your wall behind random conversations between a conspiracy theorist and a character of the and the main character of a cartoon. It was just accidental.
Oh, exactly. Now, Randy, when we're talking about seeing this sort of hyper masculinity in culturing, in the media, and in the police and military, you were bringing up the military earlier. You've probably clearly seen that this has been something that has, I guess it's always been there. Whenever they need to get people to go to war, of course, there's a whole conditioning process. They go through the training, and you're taught to just sort of blindly listen to authority and don't listen to your intuition, and all you do is follow orders. You never question. But again, there's been this extreme degradation of the military as well, and the mentality of what it is, where it started out as being this idea of protecting the nation, and the police officers were there. You got the old, like, Barney Fife type police officer helping old women cross the street with their groceries and pulling cats out of trees and rounding up the bad guys. And now the police of the day are just they're going nuts. It's like they're letting these guys loose. From your perspective or your experience, what would you say in terms specifically with police and military today? What's going on with that?
The first part of that is that, in my mind, the only valid military would be the militias. In other words, here in the United States, we originally formed ourselves around the idea that we did not have standing armies. And in fact, that was enshrined in our founding documents, and then we blissfully ignored it, and we had standing armies. The original format of the Second Amendment rights in the United States went to the soul of this by basically designating that we would have militias. The militias were citizen soldiers who were basically seen as people who came to the defense of their land, their borders, their property, and their people. The police, on the other hand, are a different matter. In the United States, again, I'll use us as an example because we're such a poor example most of the time. The only really designated law enforcement person was the sheriff in the founding documents of the United States. Police forces grew up around the idea of constables and the protection of certain municipal subdivisions, towns, villages, and basically were seen as security guards. And what has happened?
There's the music there, Randy. Sorry to cut you off. So let's get back into that on the other side. We've got one more segment, guys. So we'll try to wrap up our thoughts on this stuff. So, folks, don't go anywhere. Listen to Truth, War, and American Freedom Radio. We'll be right back. folks. On the second edition of the Man Talk Project, which is sort of a play on, of course, the Montauk Project. And Vinny, thanks
the
for
Montauk,
coming back, by the way.
Montauk.
The Montauk Project, as they call it in Jamaica, is also a place where you can learn to speak with a Jamaican accent. They called it the Montauk Project for that very reason.
There you go. Exactly. Now, we've only got one more segment here, guys, so we're just going to kind of go through a few finishing thoughts on these things that we were bringing up. But, Randy, before the break, you got cut off and you were just getting into the whole...
Let me just wrap that up this way.
Yeah, do it.
We wouldn't need hyper military and hyper police if we were a moral culture. The fact is, we have law enforcement and military we deserve because we've abdicated. Real simple.
Yeah, I think that's about right. And speaking of abdicating certain things, the whole thing about being a dad, all the guys out there are just like, oh, my God, you know, your life is over, such and such, and blah, blah, blah. You know, they just basically they don't want the responsibility of having a life to take up, to take care of. And then once it's born, it's like, oh, my God, I love it so much. I loved it a lot. And you can't, you can't bear to live without them, which is why, incidentally, the old eugenics court system now favors mothers. And guess what? If you go to a family court in New Zealand and you're a guy, you have to pay for all your own legal fees. But if you're a woman, you get what's called legal aid. And the government pays for your lawyer up to $1,000 an hour. Isn't that nice? And she can do it an unlimited amount of times. Same with counseling. If you're having problems because your children have been taken off you by the state, a woman can get unlimited counseling. Unlimited counseling. A man can only get 6 sessions on the taxpayer. It's because, you know, as a man, of course, after only 6 sessions of therapy, you must have had everything all taken in order. And, you know, because, you know, the one thing that'll help you get off with never being able to see your kid because some kind of corrupt system brainwashed people into taking away your very lifeblood and sport on this earth. 6 sessions of therapy can just compensate for all of that, you know. You should be all right. Get on with it. What are you worried about?
Not a problem. Just go Bradley Manning on them. You'll be able to qualify for both sides of it. You'll be a father and a woman both.
I could be a woman.
Well, and speaking as, I mean, I was just talking to you guys over the break, the fact that, you know, I've recently become a new father.
No. It's not a foreman. It's a famine. It's a father. That's a woman. A famine. Look at that. I don't like that one. And you don't even have to start to while doing it.
Whatever works, you know, I guess. But basically, you know, speaking as a new father, and I have a young 1.5-year-old daughter, and, you know, all the stuff we've been bringing up and what I've been looking into, it kind of scares the crap out of me, to be honest. But at the same time, when I hear my friends that are fathers and they're constantly preaching all this doom and gloom about what it is to be a father, I just look at them and I just see the fact that they just haven't entered adulthood yet. They haven't quite, as you were bringing up before, Vinny, they haven't quite grown up at all in their own, for their own life and their own goals and interests, but let alone to support the life of somebody else and to try to be a role model. And I think that's what this ultimately comes down to, is that not only do we not have good role models in politics, in religion, in, you know, mainstream, in the media, television shows, sports icons, etc., we don't have good parents and good fathers in terms of role models. And it'd just be nice to see that rekindled again. And once in a while, I'll meet a guy that's a father, 1 or 2 kids, and I actually look up to him and I go, wow, this guy, you know, he goes to the nines for his kids and he's really there and he really cares. He really listens. He's really trying. And at the end of the day, you know, as a parent, you're going to make mistakes. You're not perfect. But as long as the intention that you have is to try to offer the best love and support that you can for your children and to actively research and learn about and become aware of the time in which you live. I mean, it is not the 1950s anymore. It's a totally different world. It's a brave new world, as Aldous Huxley would say. I think he was right in a lot of his predictions about what we're facing here. But to kind of sum it up, why don't you guys just, I mean, let's start with you, Vinny. What would you like to see change the most in men today? What would be the number one thing on your list? If you could walk up to a man and say, look, buddy, this is what you got to change, what would it be?
Larger cojones, which I believe can be achieved via surgery.
Pesky testes, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah. And I had this, seriously now. Manning up ain't just about hardening up. All right? There's a soft side, and there's a thing. I mean, you can see how fathers talk to their little girls and stuff like that. They put on this little persona, which is very sweet and very cute and very unmanly. And yet, that is indeed the balance, you know? Yeah. There's a man's love and there's a woman's love. And I think children need both. And so if you're the man, look at it this way. Nothing survives without a little bit of love. And that's what you got to show all the time, rather constantly, because you achieve some form of understanding with the people around you, you know, with your own children. If you really love them and actually really want to know how their day was, it was just like, oh, it was good. It's just like, that's not good enough for me. I'm sorry, love. There's a lot of listening that comes from a lot of loving, you know. You ever done pillow talk with your missus? Okay, it's the same thing. Everybody.
Different expressions of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody needs to know that it's not, like, unmanly to love something ridiculously. I mean, if anything, that's actually the thing that balances out the man equation, because that's how we can hook up with other creatures and things like that. You know, we can love our dogs, we can love our cats, we can love our kids, we can love our missus. And I think that there's been this agenda to just, you know, make us stop loving everything, including ourselves, and really not have any deep emotional bond that we share with other people and especially ourselves, you know. So, guys, you got to love everybody for whatever there is to love. And some people, yeah, they ain't going to return nothing. and by all means, it's all about balance. Don't love everything. If you don't hate something, you wouldn't know what it's really like to truly love something. All right. That's my two cents.
Excellent. And Randy, what do you think? Closing thoughts on that.
Well, you know, we started out this conversation back when Vinny's show talking, I think, about the sacred feminine. And we've kind of sideways kind of inserted this idea that the sacred male is something we need to approach. What it really is the two opposites balance each other. They make each other sacred. The extremes that we see in the culture with butch women and feminized men polarize, and they drive a wedge between men and women in a way that destroys all the natural balance. So a lot of what we're talking about tonight is regaining balance and not having gender wars, but establishing boundaries for how we're supposed to behave as male and female beings.
Well, yeah, well put. And I think to add to that, it's that we really do need to go within and try to define it for ourselves. I mean, we've brought up our opinions here tonight, folks. And if you're listening out there, you really need to just think about this on your own and do your own research, do your own inner research, try to put this into your own context. And just, you know, if you're a man out there, ask yourself, what does it mean to you to be a man? What characteristics and virtues do you look up to? Whether you had a good role model in your life or not, you are a human being. You are alive. And that uniqueness that you have to try to tap into it and learn how to express it. And the same would go for women as well. So it's very much an internal process. And I think that one of the biggest mistakes, or not mistakes, but just is something we were led into in this modern culture, is to just copy others and to look up to someone else. And this is the problem we've gotten into with politics, with giving our way our rights and freedoms to. And it is our fault in that sense, is that we have allowed this to take place. We might not be directly implicated in the actions of these corrupt, scumbaggery things, as Vinny would say. But we are implicated in the fact that we have allowed, we have acquiesced to it. And that's one element of it. You know, same with the big religious institutions of the world, which have been aiming at dividing spirituality and dividing people from each other and creating division and war. It's something that we have to go in on an internal level individually and try to remember that we have to try to empower ourselves to, once again, you know, figure out who we are, why we're here on our own. Stop just listening blindly to some authority. That also goes for the media, young kids watching television. You know, just we have to be careful at what we expose our children to, and we have to talk to them. And just as like Vinny was talking about, just have a conversation and get their feeling on it. And so that's honestly my take, is that this has to be an internal individual process. People have to figure it out for themselves and basically come to their own conclusions. So basically, with that being said, guys, we've only got about a minute left, I think, here. And I just want to thank you guys both. It's been a pleasure having you guys on the show and just sort of shooting these ideas back and forth. I really hope to do another show. And I guess, Randy, we're going to be on your show next, coming up soon, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to set that up.
It's on the 25th of September or something like that, right? What time, Randy?
Let's do it right now. Let's figure it out. Let's do it.
Well, let's figure it out. It would be 9 p.m. Eastern time, and September 25th.
All right.
We'll do it. Offplanetradio.net. You can go there and catch the stream live. There's a chat room. And we take callers, too. So hopefully we'll piss somebody off enough to come at us. How about that?
That would be awesome.
Hopefully it's some vengeful Fabian feminist.
Some bitter feminist. Yeah.
I've never had any kids in my life. Never been better. And it's clearly balanced you out a heck of a lot, love. Had a boyfriend a long time. Thought not. Good night.
Yeah, excellent. Well, guys, it's been a pleasure, and I think that we're definitely going to do this again. Round three coming up, the Man Talk Project, the Mon Talk Project, and we're definitely going to be going over some different elements of this. I think it's one of the most important conversations we have to have, because there's a lot of confusion out there amongst both men and women, and there's a lot of unbalance, and I think that's really what it comes down to as well, is that we got to rebalance things.